Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Twitch, y'all are weak today. I don't see, nobody's giving us any grief, nothing. Nothing.
You're looking for that?
Yeah. I like when they come after me. I like it. You're weak today, Twitch. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776. If one guy doesn't like Lance too much, because something about brisket, I don't know.
I don't know.
Stop. Can we stop? We're going to stop with the whole fried brisket thing, by the way.
Leave Lance alone.
Yes. You're all going to stop. You're going to leave my guy alone, okay?
Well,
He's a respected journalist, 24 years in the business, NFL.com draft expert, and that's all y'all talk about is brisket. We're going to stop now, okay?
I mean, all those things you said are correct, except for the my guy part. He's not my guy.
He's your guy.
I can't lie about
that's
that.
That's your guy.
He's not my guy. But okay. All the other stuff you said is correct.
Yeah. Beer Man Greg says I'm hungover. Who isn't? Who doesn't? Okay? So stop already. I'm hungover. I can't go after John. Jerks.
How does that keep... You're looking for smoke.
Hey, John, how about sorry less about us giving you grief and do the dang show? Do the show! Do the show! Miss those guys.
Well, one of them is still here.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. He had a great interview, by the way. He was on for Fred and AJ. Was it last week? And I told him because he filled in for Charlie right after, too. Was it last week?
He filled in last Wednesday night. And then Friday afternoon, yeah.
He had a great interview with the guy who used to be the head of the NFL refs. What's his name? And he's on one of the
McCauley?
No.
Blandino?
Blandino. Yeah, he had a great interview with Blandino. I mean, he answered all the questions about all the stuff that was all the changes and everything. I got to give Patrick some credit there.
Did you say
do the show?
Did you bitch whatever was said? Did you say you had a great interview on your little show? Did you say it like that?
No, I didn't say it like that.
Okay.
I don't.
So you actually
that was a neat interview.
Neat stuff with your interview on your little show. Did you actually just give a compliment without dropping little show on him?
I did.
Oh, congratulations. Look at you taking steps forward. Because usually it's like, I listened to your little show and you said this. Like,
No, I don't know why. I don't know. So before the break, we told you that we were going to talk about this. On the show before us, Keyshawn says some amazing things. He just says some amazing, amazing things. I think Jay Will is real sharp. Keyshawn, so they're talking about load management with 17 game schedule now, that you've got to sit some guys some weeks. And Keyshawn said, well, if I'm going to sit my left tackle, then I've got to sit my quarterback and I got to sit my wide receiver too, because I don't want them all to get hurt.
Well,
Keyshawn, you do know that sometimes you have to replace your left tackle because he's hurt, right? So if your left tackle gets hurt, do you have to replace your quarterback?
No. But if you purposely sit your left tackle, why would you do that when your starting quarterback's in the game?
Because if he's healthy, why would you do it? Why would you not start your starting quarterback?
But why would you? Why would you put a lesser player protecting the quarterback's blind side?
Well, you might have to do that anyway if he was injured.
No, you're forced to do that. But yeah. if you choose to sit your starting left tackle, why would you want to do that when you're starting quarterbacks in the game? They don't do that in a preseason. The starting unit plays with the starting quarterback.
Well, you don't care about wins or losses in the preseason.
No, but you care about injury in the preseason.
Yeah, you care about injuries, but you don't care about wins and losses.
No, understood. But if you're sitting a you're sitting your top unit. That's why you see the, you see it like in college, even in spring games. The starting quarterback generally plays with the starting unit on an offensive line because you want your best units together. I get the whole sitting
guys. But
you
can't sit everybody just because you're sitting your left tackle.
I don't understand the receiver thing.
I don't understand the load management thing.
No, I'm not agreeing with the load management. But if you are choosing to do it, why would you want a lesser player protecting your starting quarterback?
You never want a lesser player, but sometimes you're forced to. No,
that's
so
different. Wait
a minute. So what you're saying is if that guy's going to be hurt, what are you going to do?
No, that's different. Hurt is different. You don't have the option.
No, it's not. It's the same thing.
No, it's not. You are choosing to sit your left tackle for rest or whatever the choice is. Why would you want to have a lesser player protecting your quarterback?
You wouldn't, but if... Okay, so then you can never sit your left tackle.
That's what I'm saying, yes. Don't ever sit him.
Well, that's the point, is what... Load management in the NFL?
I don't agree.
To me, it sounds ridiculous.
I don't agree with the load management point, but if some team chooses to do it, I am not subjecting, like, for example, like, the Texans have had awful tackles in the past, starting and backups. If Julian Davenport's on the field, because you said if he was still on the roster.
You had to, though.
You had to. But if Julian Davenport was the backup left tackle to Laremy Tunsil, and for whatever reason you had decided, I'm sitting Laremy Tunsil this week, why would you want Julian Davenport protecting your starting quarterback?
You wouldn't.
Exactly.
But then get somebody better than Julian, or don't sit Laremy
Tunsil.
That's
my point. You don't. If you're going to do it, I understand. I don't agree with doing the whole load management thing. But if you're going to do it, I'm not playing my starting quarterback if I'm sitting my left tackle. That's dumb, too. So, but to your point, I don't agree with load management.
No, I think this is the NFL. It's not the NBA. It's not a Sunday afternoon game after a night game in Major League Baseball. There's 17 games.
A lot more guys get hurt in practice, really, than they do in games. So, just... they'll not practice as much.
I'm not sure what the reason. I get it. You're playing more games,
and
but
it's one more week.
I don't know that that's the case, though. You get more hurt more in practice than you do in games. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know what.
Guys get hurt.
Listen, you can get hurt anytime, exactly. any game. So
I don't think wear and tear is a bigger deal than just the impact of playing football.
I got a big picture of head coaches going, yeah, listen, we don't need this game this week. We're gonna rest our guys. What? Maybe week 18? Maybe week 18. That happens on week 18 because we don't want to get anybody hurt going into the playoffs when we've already got our position already set. But if our playoff positioning isn't set, we're playing everybody. I mean, this is just—it's just to me. What the hell are we talking about here?
See, I don't think Key's point is ridiculous in the sense of if some coach decides to do it, why? Just like you said, you don't want to get a guy hurt in Week 18. You don't see the starting quarterback playing if the starting line's not playing in that final game. It doesn't happen because you don't want guys to get hurt. So if a coach decides to do it, rest all your starters.
Well, you. If the quarterback is resting, and a lot of times you'll see the starting offensive line out there.
True, but it doesn't happen. You are not going to play your starting quarterback with a backup offensive line if you don't have to. You're not going to choose to do that.
No.
So I don't think his point is crazy if you make the choice to do it. I just don't like making the choice to do it. I don't like it as far as load management.
Yeah, I just don't. And, you know, first of all, they were talking about... First of all, it wouldn't happen against division opponents because I don't know what coach he said told him. A division game is worth a game and a half. It's not a game. It's a game and a half. And you got to have all the division games you could possibly get. So, you don't want to do it in a conference game. So, like the Texans, their off team, that 17th game, is against Carolina this year, which happens to be their Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a game that you sit people?
Why would you do that in that game?
Well, and it's week 3, too, by the way.
Yeah.
No, and when do you think you load manage? Now, there are some teams, the way that their schedule worked out, that they have a bye week. They play 13 straight weeks either before or after their bye, their off week. 13 straight weeks, I could see at some point, maybe... You know, hell, we got to rest this guard. We got to rest this defensive line. We got to rest this cornerback. We got to rest this
linebacker.
Well, is it rest linebacker?
Or they're beat up a little bit, you don't play him?
Yeah. Well, and that'll happen too, right?
I could understand that if a guy's a little beat up, you hold him out. But the whole we're just going to sit a guy because we're in week 12 of a 13-game stretch, if he's healthy, play him.
Yeah.
And if he's banged up, don't play him. He might be tired this week, so we're not going to play him.
Yeah, the league, though, talking about how the player safety comes first.
Well, we've all known that's nonsense.
You know, when you're playing on Sunday and then you're playing 4 days later and you add a 17th game, you don't give a rat's ass about player safety.
And for the most
part, you don't give a rat's
ass. And you don't care about the quality of those games on Thursdays because that's just about inventory. Because for the most part, first of all, the interest isn't as great and the games aren't all that good.
What if like week 13, the Packers decide to sit Aaron Rodgers that week?
And what would the explanation be? He's load managing? The quarterback is load managing?
Yeah, load managing. They're playing the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And it's a game.
And they have a three-game division lead. It doesn't matter if they win or lose, really?
Well, I guess that would be the case. Or I cannot see. It just doesn't make any sense. Management makes no sense in football.
And it's too...
There's no lead that's not safe.
And you're not far enough ahead of if you're competing for home field advantage, you're not far enough ahead of your competition to just sit your quarterback and then think you can make it up. I mean, because we see we see good teams lose to bad teams. I think the talent disparity is such that it's not the same in the NBA. We saw it this week where the Rockets played a team without its two best players. Now it was closer, but the Lakers found a way to win. Without AD and LeBron, take out Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams against a bad, let's say, who should be a bad team? Let's say the Jets. The Jets beat the Rams last year when they should have been tanking. So the talent disparity isn't at that level where you can just sit out a couple of your best players and think you're just going to win the game.
Yeah.
Particularly at quarterback. Like, take out, the difference between LeBron and, I don't know, whoever the small forward would have been for the Lakers that night. It's about the same. It's probably less than the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love for a night.
Yeah.
Jordan Love starting a game against an NFL team instead of Aaron Rodgers. How much would the point spread change?
By the way, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I bought tickets to this game.
Yeah, that too.
I bought tickets to this game and I get Jordan Love instead of Aaron Rodgers.
And the NBA fans would go, welcome to our world.
I get Andy Dalton instead of Justin Fields.
NBA
sorry, agent.
Hey.
Sorry, Katie.
You want to apologize to Katie for that?
Sorry, Katie.
Look, NBA,
92.5 and Katie. If you're in Katie, listen to 92.5.
Look, NBA
fans. If you still want to listen to the show after that.
And NBA fans would say, we've been dealing with this for years now, and it sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
It blows. Hey, when you go out and Dusty's got his Sunday lineup out there. What the hell, Dusty?
And with the NBA,
I don't want to see Miles Straw ever.
And with the NBA,
let alone on Sunday,
the NBA doesn't have it where you find out days before the game. Oh, it's like an hour before they put out who's going to play. Wait a minute, LeBron's not playing tonight, and I got tickets for this game.
Jerk!
What the hell?
9:13, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Boy, Jeannie Buss is pissing people off. You see this? Apparently, Jeannie Buss named her five most important Lakers in franchise history. First of all, she should have declined.
Yeah, there are too many living Lakers who are really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, she named Kobe, Magic, Kareem, Phil Jackson and LeBron James.
Phil Jackson.
Well, she.
I know.
They lived together forever.
But still.
Phil Jackson?
That's what I'm saying. Over another player? Or even Pat Riley?
If you're gonna Jerry West?
Well, yeah, that's the story. But if you're going to stick with a coach, I mean, Pat Riley was pretty damn important in the
80s. Jerry West was pissed. I saw the other day Jeannie Buss made a statement to five most important Lakers. One of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. I was there a lot of times, had a lot of success. Be curious to know if they would have had that success if I hadn't been there.
Mm. Talk that noise, Jerry.
Yeah. Jerry's like, hey, I'm 82. I can say what
Excuse
I want
me,
now.
Didn't I trade for Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
Remember Vlade in a pick for Kobe? Remember that?
He had a hand in seven championships for the team. He won as a player in 72. Oversaw another two in 80 and 82 as a special consultant and guided them to additional four titles in 85, 87, 88, and 2000 as the general manager. He left after the 2000 title, but Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, two players that West brought to Los Angeles, led the team to another four total championships. So that's actually even more than seven. One is a player, two is a consultant, that's three, four more, that's seven, and then four more, that's 11. That he had a direct hand in out of their 17.
And did she put LeBron on the list?
LeBron.
After one?
Well, I think this is just sucking up to LeBron right
well,
now.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most important Lakers ever. LeBron James.
Stop it.
Jeannie. First of all, that I know you want to suck up to LeBron right now because you have to with that ego. He better be on that list. LeBron James is one of the most. Phil Jackson. As one of the most important Lakers ever, how about Pat Riley?
That's what I said. If you got to pick a coach, how about Riley? If you have to pick one,
well, but she didn't. Did she ever do stuff? Did she ever do stuff with Lart Riley?
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
Do you have any inside information?
No,
on that?
I do not actually.
That's inside information. You get it?
Understood. Much like your Butterface reference, we understood before you said
it. You got it?
Yes. Before you laid it out, yes,
before
we understood.
Before I got out my sledgehammer?
Yeah, we understood what you're talking about.
Shaq was cool about it. He's like, I'm 49 years old. For the past 10 years, I learned you have to respect people's opinion, even if their opinion is not the same as yours. I love Jeannie Buss. She gave me $120 million, $100 million, and another $80
million. What's he complaining
I
about?
I would never, ever in my life say anything negative about Jeannie Buss and the Buss family. Yeah. Thank you, Shaq. Can you do a Shaq without being offensive? Is that all right?
As long as you don't.
What if Shaq was Chinese?
No, don't do it.
What did Shaq say about Yao Ming?
Not going to do it.
Why don't you do that impression?
I choose not to.
You're doing Shaq talking about Yao Ming.
Yeah, that's not going to make it any better for me to do the impression just because I'm letting everyone know I'm pretending to be Shaq.
What would Yankees fans call you then?
Racist.
That's
what they called Yuli.
Racist.
But can we go back to one of the most offensive things I've ever heard? Does he live in some bubble where he hears nothing?
Jerry West doesn't have... No one ever insults Jerry West.
No,
he's a logo.
No, I understand no one ever insults him. He could have said one of the more insulting things I've ever heard, but one of the most offensive things I've ever heard? What does he do?
He's living a good life.
Clearly, if that's the most offensive thing he's ever heard, Jerry... Yeah. You've been around a long time. A lot of bad things have probably been said around you.
Yeah.
I could see how it's insulting that she left you off the list.
Yeah, Jerry West is, come on, Jeannie. As a player, he's the logo. A player.
And he's a GM.
A GM.
Who built the Lakers
Jeannie.
Into
well, now
a
he's
dynasty.
With the Clippers, though, so maybe that's why.
Some pettiness from Jeannie?
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't end well. Maybe Jerry has said some things that we don't know about that she didn't like. But still,
didn't Jerry trade somebody from Memphis to? Didn't he give him Powell?
Was he the GM at the time?
I think he was the GM at Memphis at the time, and he gave Powell, and they won. They won more. He was responsible for those championships.
So he
too.
Set them up because Kobe was floundering. Actually wanted out, considered going to the Clippers at one point, and they acquired Paul Gasol, and things changed. So if he was the GM at the time. He should get credit for those too.
Yes, he was the GM of Memphis, and he traded Powell to the Lakers.
Just much like Kevin McHale deserves a lot of kudos for what he did for Boston when he traded Kevin Garnett there.
Yeah,
to his former team, like Jerry West apparently did. Jerry West was the GM. I'm trying to see his history. His Wikipedia is very long because of all the success, so I can't find it. He was a GM for the Grizzlies starting in 2002 and retired in 2007. When was the Pau Gasol trade? Let's see.
People aren't. Oh, there's some.
It was after it. He was done with the Grizz and the trade was made. He probably never would have made the trade. Pau was traded February 1st, 2008.
He wasn't with the organization at all after that, after he was the GM?
Let's see. At age 69, West retired as Grizz general manager in 2007 and turned it over to Chris Wallace, who is well known as one of the worst GMs to ever do it. So Chris Wallace made the trade.
Chris Wallace is one of the worst.
I thought
he still had something to do with the organization.
Apparently, I don't know. Maybe he had some consultant role, but he was not the GM at the time.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. That would have been an even better story.
Yeah.
Look what I did for you people. Come on, Genie.
Yeah, at the time.
Sucking up to LeBron. He's got one title. He's been there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he's got one title. Are you kidding me? Plus, the first year he was there, they were one of the worst teams in basketball.
Yeah. At the time of the trade, he wasn't a decision maker. Chris Wallace did it, and he got ripped for it. But then he helped the Grizzlies become competitive after that. But so the worst GM stuff was for the first half of Wallace's tenure. They got better later. Yeah, but Jerry West should be on that list. It's an easy list. It's an easy to give him. You didn't have to rank him 1 through 5, but he belongs on it. LeBron is, look, I know LeBron's a little petty and sensitive, but you got him locked in for another year.
Yeah.
So, and he already won your title. I get it, but it's an easy thing to say Jerry West belongs on it. I just am a fan of Jerry West saying it's one of the most offensive things he's ever heard. He was like, I know you ain't playing
me
like
NBA
that.
Petty, boy. I'm going to tell you, even Jerry West is getting NBA petty. You know what? When you get me my Christmas present this year, this is what I want.
Who's your daddy?
Yep. Y-O-R daddy. Who's your daddy?
You got children. Why don't they buy it for you? You got multiple children.
No, when you're present.
I've never.
I don't want to have to tell them. I just told you.
But you just told me.
I know.
I'm not your kid.
When you get my present this year, get that.
Have I ever gotten your Christmas present?
Now you tell
present?
His no. kids to
No,
get
this
it
year.
Him.
I mean, I know you're going to do it this year.
What's JT's number? So I can sneakily tell him.
713.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
So JT can get you that shirt and go, look, Dad, I'm a great son. What congratulations would I get for getting you that shirt?
Nothing.
Don't be weird. Don't buy me a shirt is what you would probably say.
Hey, weirdo, stop buying me.
Yeah,
stuff.
Why are you buying
stop
me clothes?
Stop buying me clothes.
Why are you buying me clothes, weirdo?
You're a weirdo. You're a weirdo.
When's the last time a man bought you clothes? I mean, Alonzo will give you free stuff, but he doesn't buy it for you.
I just bought my nephew, a birthday present. I got him a Pine Forest golf shirt.
That's your relative. That's different.
The Seahawks gear.
That's free. Alonzo's
free.
Not buying
he brought
that.
It. Alonzo.
He worked for the team.
Okay. I have Seahawks gear. I'm a Seahawks fan.
When's the last time an adult male who isn't family bought you clothes? Or has it ever happened?
How about this? Well, I've got a couple of buddies. One of my friends bought another one of my friends a pair of jeans.
He knows his
That's
size.
Weird.
That's weird.
That's that really, is really weird.
What kind of relationship
and
do they
trust
have?
Trust me, we gave him the business for it.
How did he think he was going to get away with that?
I don't know. We just went, what the hell?
He was shopping and thought to himself, this would look good on my friend? Is that what he thought?
What, like, was
Here,
he having maybe like
a
jeans?
He was like, what the hell?
A gene intervention for
and
the other guy?
And he's a big guy, too. Huh?
Like, was the other guy's, like, were his pants messed up or something?
I don't know.
There's no excuse
no,
for
he
it.
Just went out and bought him a pair of jeans.
If your buddy's jeans are screwed up, you just make fun of him. You don't go buy him clothes, jeans.
Don't buy another. Do me a favor and never buy another man a pair of jeans.
Don't worry about it. Why would I know your size and what? Oh, I hope this doesn't sag on his butt. What? What are you doing?
Skinny jeans.
You guys are close.
928 ESPN 975.
ESPN 975. This is
is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Udonis Haslem last night paid, what, a minute and a half?
2+ minutes, made a couple shots in his first minutes of the year. Maybe his final game, as at least final home game as a member of the Miami Heat. Who knows? Depending on how things work out, he may get to play in the last game against Detroit if they have things sewed up for a top five seed or something. But he didn't appreciate Dwight Howard at all.
No.
And pretty much,
well, they had a history, though.
Yeah. Dwight was on the Lakers last year. He hit Bam a couple times, and they point to that as maybe injuring Bam. And apparently there's the call. Is this the Sixers call where they were freaking out? They thought he hit him in the face or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, this is from the Fanatic.
Let's hear.
Another 97.5.
And Udonis has him now in words with Dwight Howard. And, oh, he poked him in the face. He poked him in the face. Udonis has
him. He did not poke him in the face.
Going right at Dwight Howard. And I believe more technicals are going to be assessed here. Sam Cassell with willing ears listening to Udonis Haslem. As it's almost like Haslem has said, Howard, I've been watching you all year. I'm not putting up with it. And now Haslem, kick him out. He's out. He got kicked out. So Udonis Haslem gets in the game, but now he's not. See ya. UD, out.
He was very boisterous and enjoyed that.
He definitely, that Philly announcer loved Udonis Haslem out of the game.
He did not punch him or poke him in the face. He didn't even make contact. I think Dwight got his hands up before he would even got near his eye or anything.
But this is history, though.
There's some history there. There's some history between the teams. You know, the Jimmy Butler thing didn't work out in Philly, and there's some words about why he left. And he's not. He wasn't. Now, Brett Brown isn't there, but he wasn't a fan of Brett Brown. I don't think he's a fan of Ben Simmons either. And then last year in the finals, Dwight was playing for the Lakers, and I was pointing out that The Heat believe he took some cheap shots on Bam and affected Bam's shoulder. Now, Bam missed either a game or two, and he was injured when he came back, so he wasn't at full strength. So UD was like, UD has a long memory, and he got to play, and then Dwight kind of tossed him on the ground. Nothing vicious, but on a rebound, he kind of used a swim move, and UD hit the ground. And you could tell by UD's reaction or Haslem's reaction that, all right, this is how we want to play it, huh? And he said, look, I'm going to have some words with Dwight. And he put the finger in his face, and the referees threw him out of the game. But he's a legend. He has been a legend in Miami a long time. And this just cements his legacy. It was a long time ago, but he, like Tyler Hansbrough, hit Dwayne Wade in the playoff series when it was the Pacers Heat when they're going back and forth. Udonis Haslem in the next game wailed on Tyler Hansbrough and got thrown out of that game for doing it. So
he's the enforcer.
He has been the enforcer a long time. Just
if this was hockey, he would have walked onto the court and just dropped his gloves.
And it's in 2006 when he was young, he was like a legitimate starting power forward for a team who won a title. And he had some moments later during the LeBron years, but he has always been the guy that don't start, no won't be none. And if you do start something, there will definitely be some. And it was a smaller thing because he didn't make contact with Dwight, but he had thoughts and words for Dwight because he remembered what Dwight did last year.
Mm-hmm. That was just a fun game.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff going on. There's all kinds of stuff going on in that one. How about this? Did you guys see breaking news? HBO Max confirms a Friends reunion. Are you guys excited?
I didn't care about Friends during the
first
one. I know
Raheel is excited. Raheel loved that series.
He can't stand that show.
He loved that series.
It was very representative of
every time Friends was mentioned, Raheel got all giddy.
I appreciate Friends. It was very representative of New York. I mean, you know, a show that just talked, that had six white people talk to each other the entire time.
All living together right there.
One was that multiple people were out of work at times, and they all had great apartments.
In Manhattan, and that apartment would have been about, I don't know, 40,000 a month.
How big it was.
Yeah.
And the two bedrooms. Yeah, it was very representative of life in New York.
Yeah, that's exactly how life in New York is.
Yeah. So, great.
Yeah. Great. So that's going to be awesome.
You're gonna make sure you watch it. You were on the set of Friends at one point, right? Didn't you sit in the Central Perk when you went to L.A.?
Did I?
I sat in Ellen's. I thought the family went on the Friends set too.
Oh yeah, no. We saw it. I didn't sit in it. Okay. I don't think I did. I saw it though. Yeah, but I did sit it in Ellen's studio. And that's done too.
The Ellen show's done. Ellen's, after 19
Ellen's leaving.
Ellen couldn't fade the mistreatment allegations. You know, the nice woman who comes out and dances.
Even
that couldn't, you know, temper. Oh, look, the phones are working. Look at that. So if you had tried to call in, we apologize. We had some issues with the phones. But Ellen couldn't fade it. And now she's done after 19 years.
Yeah, she said she can't do it anymore because she doesn't. She's not inspired anymore. Maybe because she can't, you know,
yell at people
anymore.
It's not as fun anymore.
Not nearly as much fun when you don't get to scream people down.
And your reputation's kind of taking a beating. So maybe you don't want to be in the public eye so much anymore. We'll see.
Yeah. No, I don't think people trust her much anymore.
I'm not worried about her money. She'll be okay.
Yeah, when you find out stuff about, you know, like that. Like Deshaun. Deshaun is, even if he's, you know, if he doesn't have to settle with any of them, I don't know how this is all going to end. But from now on, Deshaun, anytime you hear a massage, you think of Deshaun.
True. I mean, that Ohio State story came up, and we were like, well, Deshaun went to the wrong school.
Yeah.
And Deshaun's like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I'm over here. I went to Clemson. I
had a great
Clemson.
Career.
Yeah, but you didn't have the masseuse that they have at Ohio State.
Yeah.
The one that does stuff.
Think how things would have been at Ohio State.
If you missed that story, and Ohio State has had to ban a masseuse from because she was having relations with the football players. I don't see why you have to stop this, but okay.
I think the deal was she was demanding money when the guys didn't know that any sexual relation. Interaction with them would turn into a money transaction. She kind of like, wait a minute, you guys just thought I liked you. You think I just come in here and have sex with football players? No, I massaged you. You agreed to have sex with me. It was consensual. Now pay me for it. I think out of a total of the 117th student athletes, she had sexual conduct with five of them. At least five that would admit to it.
Yeah, five that admitted to it.
Yeah.
You know there were more. I mean, and so Deshaun, he went to the wrong place. He should have gone to Ohio State and gotten, you know, this would have been his starter kit.
You think if he did go to Ohio State and heard about it, you think he would have just made, now this happened after he would have graduated. He heard about this particular masseuse. I got to make some trips back to campus.
Yeah.
I just got to hang out. Help the boys out. Teach them some stuff.
Kind of go see my guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that happened. 713-780-3776. I guess our phones are working now. Congratulations to us.
No, they're not. When AD tried calling his phone number from one of these lines, it just lit up. It called
itself.
Itself, yeah. So it might be a sentient being. I don't know. But
is this Skynet?
It's a bit scary, yeah.
Yeah,
Because we've had people on Twitch saying, hey, I'm trying to call. What the hell's the deal with your phones?
Well,
we don't know.
We don't know.
We really have no idea.
Just tweet.
Yeah. Bill Worrell's last game tonight.
It is an end of the era. We had him on earlier
and
this
week. And it's the Clippers. Do you think the Rockets are going to send him out with a big win?
I mentioned the Rockets possibly beating the Hawks. You laughed me out of the room. So
well,
what
but
do you
the
think?
Clippers is different.
You mean the better team is different?
Yeah.
They're all second night of a back-to-back for the Clippers.
Yeah. They just played, so
I don't think that matters.
No.
Not this year. Not with the Rockets, it doesn't.
Do they play every – I don't know. Maybe they load manage. I don't know.
Well,
aren't you supposed to not load manage on the – well, if it's a back-to-back, you can load manage anywhere, right?
Yeah. And what are the Clippers are trying to secure a – maybe they want the 3 seed or the 2 seed. I don't know what they want because the 2 seed may mean they see the Lakers in the first round. But a three seed may mean they see the Lakers. So I'm not sure what the Clippers' motivation is. I think so much is up in the air. You can't really, with the play-in tournament, you can't really guarantee anything. So I wonder what the Clippers will do. Now, they've played their guys recently. They did it against the Knicks, and it didn't work out for them this past weekend, but they're two games behind the Suns, so unlikely to catch them, but still, there's still a possibility of that. But they're only a game up on the Nuggets, so would they rather have the four and see the Mavs or Portland or even the Lakers could get up to five? There's so many scenarios, it'll make your brain hurt.
Yeah. I just, How about the Suns and the Jazz? The Suns have a chance to take to be the number one seed in the West with two wins and a loss by the Jazz.
Yeah, which could still mean you could see the Warriors in a first round or the Lakers or the Trailblazers. They don't know either. It may just be an accomplishment to be the one seed when you haven't made the playoffs in so long, but you may not get a great reward on the other end if the Lakers are waiting for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would, well, more than likely the Lakers are going to be the seventh seed, right?
You would imagine, but will those guys be healthy enough for one Steph onslaught? Because Steph could go for 50 in a game where those guys are limping around trying to gut it out, and now you played a game where you lost. Now you got to play some Memphis team who you would probably beat. I don't know. I talked about it before. When are the Lakers going to be healthy? We keep hearing, if the Lakers are healthy, I'll take them. AD missed this past game against the Rockets because of a groin injury that he got because he was coming back from an injury maybe a little bit earlier than he should have against the Knicks because they needed a win. When are the Lakers going to be at full strength? Probably not going to happen this year. Now, they still may be good enough to win it all.
And before this season started, the Lakers were, how big a favorite were they?
They're the clear. The Nets were out there, but as far as making the finals at a minimum, they're the clear favorite.
Well, the Nets just had the two. They didn't have James yet.
Oh, yeah, they made the trade during the season.
Yeah.
But the Lakers were a clear favorite to win it all. And people still like them just because of AD and LeBron. But which AD and LeBron are you going to get? Look, AD's limping around. And he always gets injured, it feels like. There's a chance he misses a big playoff game.
We revisit Deshaun and the latest news on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, we just got word that the phones are working. So if you want to call in, 713-780-3776. So Tony Busby the other day said that there are no settlements are not happening. A settlement is not happening. Quote, Rusty Harden has come back and he took a few shots at Mr. Busby. While we've never approached Mr. Busby about a settlement, he has approached us on numerous occasions in the past about the possibility of a settlement. We made it clear all along that there will not be any settlement unless the terms are made public and all participants are allowed to speak in their own defense at all times. We want none of the participants, the plaintiffs or Mr. Watson, muzzled by a settlement agreement. Mr. Busby does not feel the same. It's interesting how this tide seems to be turning. Tony Busby has accused Miss Lisa Friel of not being sympathetic to the victims. They felt like they were disrespected. The NFL has shot back that Lisa Friel is nothing but a professional. And she is, she served in New York as a sexual assault. I guess she was what was her title? Look up her title. Yeah. Anyway, she's been working on these kind of cases for sexual assault cases for a while. Here's, she's in the sex crime unit in Manhattan District Attorney's Office. And most recently, she's the NFL special counsel for investigations. But Busby felt like she was being disrespectful to the clients. And he doesn't know whether or not she's going to continue. So that would indicate if she is in the in sex crimes unit in New York City.
She was the chief of the sex crimes unit in Manhattan's district attorney's office.
So she has a lot of familiarity with sexual assault cases. Maybe the way she, maybe because, you know, she's New York, maybe she was a little bit more aggressive than we're used to down here in Texas?
Yes, because the New York way of doing things may have been an affront to Tony Busby. Yeah, possibly.
Maybe. That's possible. That's a possibility. Also, maybe she has her doubts about the victims and their claims, and so maybe she was a little bit harder on them. We don't know. But it's probably in play. Maybe Tony Busby isn't getting the kind of his clients aren't getting the kind of sympathetic treatment that he would like them to get. The line of questioning is tougher than he would like it to be. That's a possibility too. Maybe she doesn't believe him. Maybe she just doesn't believe him. And that would be certainly in Rusty Harden's and Deshaun Watson's favor. What I got out of it was what Tony Busby was saying was that's not good for Tony Busby or his clients.
Yeah, everything from here on until we get a resolution will be speculation, and we don't we don't know what's going on in those interviews. It could be simply a case of I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to ask you questions you may not like, but I need answers. Like, because this isn't a court of law, but we still have the responsibility to do not only you the service of listening to your story, but we also need to vet what you're saying about one of our players. I don't know how the NFL approaches it. Are they just going to be automatically on the side of Deshaun Watson because he is a member of the fraternity, or just simply, hey, we have to vet you, and then we'll have these same tough conversations with Deshaun. We have to, because there is no law, but we have to make a decision. We got to have all the facts, and I'm sure that she asked him to repeat the accusation multiple times and tell the story, and maybe did the whole see if there's any. I'll ask the question a different way this time and see if it's a different response, because you're going to try to figure out if there are any discrepancies. She is someone who's worked in law enforcement, so she has experience of doing.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Look, it could be what you're saying, or possibly you're saying that she doesn't believe him, or she's just doing what any person would do who has that experience. You got to ask tough questions.
Well, apparently the Houston police are going about it differently than she is, because he was very pleased with the way they were handling it, not so pleased with Ms. Friel.
Yeah. So what does it mean that as much as we pretend like the NFL is very important in this particular case, what the Houston Police Department thinks is going to be a bigger deal for Deshaun's future than the NFL, because the NFL, he can get suspended and still play. But if the Houston Police Department thinks it's something they should investigate, it'll really upend his life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they are investigating, and they've already interviewed 8 to 10, according to Tony Busby. I don't know why he doesn't know the number.
That's
weird.
That is weird.
But Rusty Harden says, here's this quote: "I'm a little bemused by Mr. Busby pronouncing piously that his clients are not going to settle and that they want their cases to play out in court. The fact that this whole thing started with his attempt to extort money and avoid court shows that irony is not dead. I guess it has just been raised to a new level." It is rather ironic that it is Deshaun, when we thought, well, Deshaun's got to settle. Yeah, he's in his best interest. He's got to get out of this thing, make it happen, get a confidentiality agreement so it's not embarrassing anymore. When in fact, it's just the opposite. Rusty Harden saying, we don't want to settle and we don't want to be muzzled. We do not want a confidentiality agreement. We want to be able to tell our side of the story at all times. And we are not negotiating with a settlement.
I saw a tweet from someone earlier. I'm trying to find it, that maybe on the Tony Busby side, they don't want these things out there, because in some of the cases we heard that Deshaun coerced them into doing something that they later regretted. And because the coercion is the part where it's considered inappropriate behavior, but something did happen. And maybe they just don't want to have that out there, that, yes, I did actually commit sounds like a crime, but there was a sexual act that occurred that I deemed to have been coerced into, but I actually did do it. So maybe there's some of that too. Like, I don't want people to know that this happened. And if Deshaun's story is it was consensual and nothing bad happened, the story's going to be told that, yes, we had consensual sex and she agreed to do this And at the time, she didn't have a problem with it. So that can be a shameful thing too.
Yeah. No,
maybe you certainly, you might not want that to be told, that story to be told about you. I'm not even suggesting that they're wrong in saying that he coerced them, but you still don't want people to know, particularly if you feel the shame and you feel bad about it, that something like that happened. So there could be many reasons why, but if we're going in on the front of they're simply just looking for money, a consensual act being and Deshaun's side wanting to tell it isn't great for Tony Busby's side.
No. Nope. Nothing of this is great. It does appear, though, it is interesting. It is interesting that, and honestly, that this seems to be turning up just a tad.
It's if we believe Rusty and he's not just simply posturing.
Right.
Now, we want to tell our story. Oh, do you? We'll see. I mean, it's easy to say now when you don't have to tell the story. If it comes out that the evidence suggests that your client did something he shouldn't have done, are you going to be willing to be open about the story? I don't know. It's rough to just call these men liars but why should I trust what any of them are saying at this point? I don't know that Rusty isn't just posturing and they wouldn't want to tell a story.
The whole thing can be just posturing. 713-780-3776. Anyway, so at least now we know a couple of things. They're not negotiating. They haven't been at the table negotiating. Rusty says we are, and it's coming from Rusty's and Deshaun's side. And we know that that Deshaun still wants this thing public for whatever reason, which leads to you to believe, doesn't it, that somewhat that. You know, Deshaun still believes that he did nothing, that he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Even if it turns out that what he did was, well, he didn't actually do anything per se. It was, these were consensual acts, and he didn't do anything inappropriate. The stories aren't going to be good for him, or at least his reputation, that he went into a massage situation looking for sex.
Well, we all know that now.
Yeah. But if they're telling these stories, and what's the look? I don't think he comes out of here in any way not looking like a creep, no matter what happens.
Right.
But
no.
But maybe he, hey, I'm a creep, but I'm not criminal. Maybe that's what he wants out there.
9:56 on ESPN 97.5. We've got another hour to go here on the show. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776.
Just hanging, some dope dealing, some gang banging.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.